Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So as we discussed in the last program, that we will now move on to the letters that Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu wrote to governors, commanders, and also to the Ummah at large. So the first letter written by Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu to all his governors. So in this letter he says, Allah Ta'ala has commanded rulers to be shepherds. He did not command them to be money collectors. The attitude of the earliest leaders of this ummah was that of shepherds, not money collectors. Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in fact, when people passed away, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say to the family that, look, if you got any debts, give it to me. I'll sort out the debts. If he left behind wealth and all, that's for you. In other words, if the person didn't leave behind any debts and he left behind wealth that now needs to be distributed, that you take, the benefits you take. But if the person passed away and he got debts on his head, now there's no wealth to distribute and all that, but he got debts on his head, give that to me. I will make arrangement to sort that out. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, just one incident from his life, that once he was so particular, you know, in fact, when Umar radiallahu anhu mentioned to him that now you can't go out and go and do business now, you have to serve the ummah now as khalif. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said to him, well then, how am I going to feed my family? I still got a family. I still got all. So Umar radiallahu anhu then said to him that, oh, we will stipulate an allowance for you from the Baytul Mal that will take care of your needs and necessities. And then you are free now to serve the needs of the Ummah. But that allowance that was given was not an allowance to make a person wealthy. It just took care of needs and necessities. Nothing else. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was very strict on this. There must be no excess. Umar radiallahu anhu also, very, very strict. When one of his governors, the place where that person was, now there may have been some delicacy or something. So when this person had come to Madina Munawara, so he brought some of that for Umar radiallahu anhu. That's a gift. So Umar radiallahu anhu asked him, do you have enough of this to feed everybody? All the subjects here. So he said, no. Now that may have been an expensive thing or whatever. He said, no. This special brought for you. He said, no. I won't partake of it. If it's something that everybody can't have, then I won't have. So this is how strict they were. They were not interested in enriching themselves. Today's zamana, people in leadership positions, politicians, etc., they worried about lining their pockets, right? Majority. Right? Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he mentioned one incident, said that there was one politician, he was standing for his third term in office. The first time he got voted in, second time also he got voted in, now was the third election, so he was standing for his third term now. So you know, before the elections they go around now on a drive to garner support and garner votes, so they go around. So he also, when he was going, so in his talks to the masses, he mentioned to them that, see, it's in your interest to vote for me. Right? So he told them, see, let me be honest with you. See, any person who comes into this post, so the first term, He worries about securing himself financially. In the second term, he worries about securing his friends and family financially. Right. So I finish do that. Now in the third term, I'll worry about you all. If you'll vote me in, now I'll worry about you all. But if you'll vote anybody else in, that person is going to worry about himself. Then second term, he'll worry about his friends and family. So it's better for you all, you'll vote for me, now I'll worry about you all now. So that is politicians for you. And not only politicians. Sometimes, for example now, if I'm a principal of an institute. Right? Now, all these different status, right, is given by the Western culture. They have this, you know, oh, this person's qualification is that much, so now his salary have to be that much. Whereas, everybody is doing the same work. Sometimes others may be doing more work. Right? So I say, no, see, I'm the principal, right? So now I need to get principal salary now. So, and maybe I'm not even doing that much of work. I'm not doing that much of work, but now I demand a high salary. So I became, and that high salary that I'm demanding is way over my need, what I need, way over my needs. I'm not just enriching myself, self-enriching, that's all. I'm not taking, not seeing that, look, I'm running this institute. So now we don't want to make things heavy on the ummah. What are my needs? That I can come out on this much. Right? So I just take that much. I don't need anything more. No, I'm saying now I'm a principal. So I must, now for example, if my expenses can come out in 15,000 rand or 20,000 rand, my expenses can come out. Now I'm saying, no. See, I'm the principal, man. Right? So I must get paid now 60,000 rand. Because I'm a principal. So all the excess money is for what? It's not for needs. It's not for expenses. It's not for luxuries. It's not just for self-enrichment, right? It's not for anything else. So Hazrat Usman radiallahu anhu is saying, soon you will find your leaders becoming money collectors, not shepherds. A shepherd, he puts in effort and he looks after his flock. He protects them from the wolves, from the jackals. He will take them to greener pastures, make sure they have got water. Right? If one is sick, administer medicine, that's a shepherd. Money collector, he only wants money. He's worried about filling his pocket with money. He's not worried about looking after anybody else who's suffering in the community, who is living below the breadline. Long as my salary is getting paid, I'm very happy. There's very few presidents, governments. I mean, you take South Africa. How much poverty in this country? Now they will keep putting the taxes higher and they will keep cutting the grants, whether it's a social grant, whether it's a disability grant, whatever it may be, pension fund, those things, if they raise it to very little bit, right? But if you look at how much the people in government are earning, now you think, what is this, a first world country now, that these people can earn so much? There's a total imbalance, right? Total imbalance. If you look at the governors and people in government and the president and all that, how they living it up and how they partying, how much one party is costing the government, right? And you look at the average person in the country, how they suffering. So it doesn't tie up. It doesn't tie up. Understand? So this is when people become money collectors. People become money collectors rather than shepherds. So this is what Usman radiallahu anhu is warning against. He says, once that happens, that people become money collectors, the rulers, and they are not shepherds, there will be no more modesty, trustworthiness, honesty. The best way of running the people's affairs is to examine the Muslims' situation. Find out what their dues are and give it to them. Take from them what is due from them. Not more than that. What is due from them, take. In other words, you have to take the zakat from them that you must take from them. More than that, no. If they come and they contribute on their own, that's left up to them. But we must only take the zakat from them, nothing else. Then go to the zimmis. Give them what is due to them. And take from them what is due from them. Then confront the enemy. Confront the enemy and seek to defeat them by means of ikhlas. With sincerity, for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, seek to defeat them, the enemy. So what a beautiful letter, Sayyidina Uthman, comprehensive, few words. Today's time, one document they have to make in Parliament, one whole paper forest will come out. Short and sweet, but so much of wisdom in his words, so much of wisdom, covers so much. Now generally when we talk about things like this, then now we say, okay, I'm not a president, I'm not a government official, I'm not any of that, right? You know, the racket that is being run in government with all these tenders and all of that, right? Now, for example, if there is a job that needs to be done, a government job, now the government will send out a tender. Now, that job maybe costs million rand. If a person is to do it and make a profit out of it, a normal profit, it'll be million rand. Right? And there are people who are prepared to do it for that price. But they won't be awarded the tender document. Right? Now you got one fellow who's corrupt. He goes to the officials who are in charge of that tender. Say, see here, I will charge 2 million for this job. Right? You'll give it to me. And see, there's 200,000 for you. 200,000 for you. Because you all are the big fellows. The other six people in charge, right? They'll get 50,000, right? So that's 4 and 3, 7. Other 300,000 extra. Now I have to get something for my troubles. So the job only supposed to cost, and by I'm using small figures. The figures are phenomenal. Right? Now how much of money, taxpayers' money, is just being wasted? Squandered. Wasted. Right? Now that could have helped the infrastructure of the country, could have helped the poor people, the homeless, the jobless, the widows, the orphans, so much could have assisted. So now, we'll say, look, but I'm not in the government, and I got nothing to do with this. Right? But now, let's come to us. I'm the father in the house. Right? I'm earning a salary, or I'm taking a drawing from my business, or whatever. I got a hunting habit. Or hunting. Not a hobby, a habit. See, one is a hobby. Hobby when you do. Yeah, once in a while now, right, you are level headed about it. The person says, look, I like venison. I like to make some biltong. I like to make some venison patties, sausages, whatever. And I like to go hunting also. I can't say I don't enjoy it. So maybe once a year, they save up some money. Put it together. He goes, he hunts, shoots one nice animal, right? Brings the meat home, and then he processes it, he makes some biltong, he makes some whatever, right? And the whole family enjoys it, right? So that's one scenario. Take another scenario. I got a hunting habit. I'm crazy over hunting now. Right? Now, They tell me, you know what, there's one buffalo to shoot here. How much is this buffalo? See, normally we sell our buffaloes for 120,000, 130,000, but we'll give you a discount, we'll give it to you for 100,000. Hey, I'm getting this thing very cheap, eh? I won't get a chance like this again. 100,000 rand it takes to go and shoot one buffalo. Right? Now that 100,000 rand, how much it could have helped the family? Maybe there's widows in the family. There's orphans in the family. Maybe his one brother is battling. He could have assisted him in some way. Right? But forget the contribution towards Masjid Madrasa. No. We're talking about in his own family. His parents, his brothers, sisters, maybe some nephews, whatever, cousins, somebody got a problem. Now that money could have assisted, right? But you see now, he is crazy over this hunting. Now he goes to shoot the buffalo. He's not even going to eat the meat. He's not going to eat the meat. It's too tough. Real Daga boy buffalo, you know, old buffalo, you can't even eat the meat. Right? Now if he shoot the buffalo, so there's no thrill now. Because he's only shooting for a thrill. He's not shooting to put some meat in the pot. He's not shooting for the pot, make some biltong, eat some. No, he's shooting for a thrill. So now they tell him, all right, you shot the fat one. Now we'll give you one tall one now. Shoot a giraffe now. Now that thing going to cost so many thousand. Now if he shoot all these giraffes and everything, now there's no thrill. I tell him, no man, see ya. You go on a lion hunt now. See, adrenaline now. Lion hunt. So how much this lion hunt? This one year now, about 250,000, you know? Go on, lion hunt. Right, now he's all pumped up now. He's going to shoot the lion now. What is shooting a lion for? But that's what happens. Now, so much money we then end up wasting. How are we going to answer to Allah Ta'ala? So if that is our attitude, that's our mindset, then if we were made presidents, then we would also be a corrupt president, isn't it? We'd be a corrupt president. I just give you an example of hunting. It can be anything. Fishing, any kind of, you know, hobby that the person got. There's no real fayda. You take a person, he goes fishing, and he, once in a while he goes, he catches few fish, right? He likes to eat fish too, he brings the thing home, his family is happy, they eat some fish, he send one, two for the neighbors, one, two family people, everybody eats, alhamdulillah, everybody's happy, everybody benefited, and he also enjoyed his fishing trip too, right? Now, the fellow say, no, hey, I'm going to catch a shark, I'm going shark fishing. No, I want to catch a bluefin tuna now. Now these things cost a lot of money to go and catch. And you're not going to eat it. But you just got a thrill now. You just want to do it, just got a thrill. So many things like that. Then you get a person who's caught up in drugs. You get a person caught up in an illicit relationship. Right? Now that funds all could have benefited his family, could have benefited the neighbors, could have benefited the ummah in some way, but now he's just wasting. Right. So now, you're going to be answerable by Allah. Now you take a situation, you are the mutawalli in the masjid. You're the mutawalli in the masjid. Now we say, no, we're gonna do some extension, now our masjid gone too small, now we're rebuilding or whatever. Right? Now, you can do it in a reasonable amount of money. But now, no. We must make our masjid a showpiece now. Hardly any money coming out of your pocket. Must go to all the people, collections, right? And now you're putting up one masjid You're spending money on things that are totally unnecessary. Just for looks now. No, I'm going to put that one frame here. I'm going to put the one and make the wall so high. I'm going to put this kind dome and that kind pillar. I'm going to do this. And it's all israf. The wuzu khana now, we're going to make it like this, heated. Some wuzu khana, you walk in a wuzu khana, the tiles are heated, man. Now, to start off with, a wuzu khana is not a precondition for a masjid. If you read all the ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is encouraging us to make wuzu at home. Right? Make wuzu at home and come. Now, out of necessity, sometimes a person is coming from work. Right? Our lifestyles are different. Sometimes a person came and now his wuzu broke. So, as a spare wheel, to put it that way, the wuzu khana in the masjid is a spare wheel. Right? But now, how much is spent on that wuzu khana now? This kind granite, that kind marble, this kind tap, that kind... Now, how much money? Right? Those mutawaidis who make those decisions to build that kind, how are they not going to be answerable by Allah? If they make israf. For nothing, they're spending money on things for nothing. Right? Today the sound systems in the masajid, one sound system, people are going crazy. This kind mic, this kind this, that kind. But you just need the sound if it's a big Jamaat, so you need some speakers. Person is giving a bayan, you don't expect him to scream all the time. Right? Somebody is performing namaz, you know, now it's a big masjid, right? Got a few hundred musallis and all that. Now, you don't expect him now to scream and read. So, if Allah Ta'ala has given this technology of a loud, you know, a mic system, so now he just needs one mic for the sound to go. No, you want echoes. And one, this kind of voice must go, that kind of voice must go, and this kind amps, and that kind mixers, and that kind this. For what? For what? And sometimes those one sound systems are costing half a million rand, 600,000-700,000 rand on one sound system. So it's so important to be a shepherd, not be a money collector. So here we leave it. There's a lot of, from this one letter, you see, one is to just read it, and the other is for us to take lessons for our life. Right? When we can just say, no, but I'm not in parliament, I'm not government, so I'm not in that kind of position, no, we are in different positions. You get so many people, they own factories, they own businesses, right? If the staff come to us, the man is battling, he's just trying to make ends meet. Landlord put the rent up. Lights and water went up, right? Exactly. He comes there to the boss. You know what? Please, man, if you can review my salary. I'm not coming out end of the month. He's working for you. Sometimes 7 day week. Sometimes 6 day week. Morning till night. He's giving you his blood, sweat and tears. He comes to know, please, man, just help me out. I just need about 1,000 rand more on my... If it's a big business I'm talking about, right? Big business, man is working. So please, man, you know, I'm short of this amount every month. Right? Shows it to you on paper. So you're paying me this much. My rent is that much. My lights, water, this much. Right? My grocery, that much. My children's madrasa fees, that much. Right? I'm short of this much. Please, if you can review my salary. I know one person... He went to talk with a big company. And he came to me, he said, you know, back then, I said, you know, go talk to your boss because he makes so much contributions to masjids, madrasas, and they're feeding here, and Ramadan time they want to do that day, you know. So I want to talk to him. Maybe he'll help you, you know. So, when he went to talk to the boss told him, do I look like a tree or something? You see money growing on me. Fellow felt so, you know, small, you know. But that company today is in trouble. It was a company, such a powerful company, you never thought that company can go down. That company today is in trouble. What's the use? You act like a big boss, but you're sucking people's blood to make that money. You're not paying them. Allah is giving you so much. Now who's helping you to make that thing? Your staff. What's the sense you're going giving million rand here, million rand there, and make a big scene, then you want to become mutawalli there and a mutawalli here and all that. But the same staff who's helping you to make the money, you don't want to assist them. Our Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to say, you go and buy your groceries, whole boot is full. That same garden boy, that same maid is helping you to offload that thing. But you're paying that person a pittance. They got no food in their house. And you're buying Nutellas and chocolate, all extra things, luxury items. And you're telling them, no, I can only pay you this much, no money. Allah ta'ala khair kareem. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanallahu wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.